You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bob Ryan, Justin Tinsley, Sarah Spain, Woody Page.
Yes,
Woody. Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis. What made this cool is how Allen rolls. What makes this great is how Davis readjusted his route. What makes this amazing is the dots don't even stay on the field of play. Let's go.
Oh, shout out to Tecmo Bowl.
Well, it's next gen, Justin, but first gen was Tecmo Bowl. You're right about that. Maybe electronic football. Who knows? Mac Jones, give him credit. Usually lip readers have to work a little bit. His enunciation is supreme. We have to believe it out because he was that direct. Patriots, somnambulistic. Bills, move forward with a win, thanks to the dots. Bill Belichick, let's start here. No answer for Bill Belichick, again, against these Bills. They run him off the field the last three meetings at least. He kicked a field goal there. He didn't use his timeouts. No hoodie. He's wearing a jacket. They're now a game and a half out of the playoffs. Bob Ryan, I turn to you in Boston. Is it fair to wonder how Belichick's coaching this season?
Here's the deal. We're repeating some history here. Once upon a time, there was a coach who was having difficulty coaching the players at his disposal. And the problem was he was the same general manager who gave the coach those players. His name was Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. Now, this year we have a coach who's having difficulty coaching the players at his disposal, getting the best out of them, especially on the offensive end, actually having them do things like get first downs and score points and actually have a drive every once in a while. And that coach is Bill Belichick. But who gave him those players? Bill Belichick. This is an all-encompassing problem that they have this year, and it all lays at the feet of the master.
Mm-hmm. And you find yourself not just wondering then, asking, has Belichick reached a point in his career where it's more challenging to get the result he wants? Let me say it like that.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, but this is the team, the personnel is not good. You know, vis-a-vis Buffalo, there was they saw how far behind Buffalo they were last year with the last two games in which they failed to force Buffalo into a punt. Now, they did finally get to do that yesterday. It took quite a while, but it actually happened.
Yes, yes.
But the fact is they didn't come close to closing that
directly,
gap. And it's his responsibility.
Bob, are you wondering if the game has passed by Bill Belichick?
I wouldn't go. That's a dangerous thing. He had bad year.
Justin Tinsley, how about you?
Yeah, I'm glad we're focusing on New England because I don't think we learned anything new about Buffalo last night. So the attention should be on New England, and in particular, Bill Belichick, who said the buck stops with him on offense, and he's right. And unfortunately, that defense can't stay off the field because the offense can't stay on. Here's these stats. Since Tom Brady left New England, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are 23-23. And of those 46 games, only 7 of them have had a 300-yard passer. So this falls on Belichick. He calls the plays. He picks the coaches. So, yes, I understand Mac Jones's frustration. I don't think he's a world beater. But last night was his 8th straight game of 1 or fewer touchdown passes. He's trying to open up an offense that really hasn't been open in almost 4 years.
Sarah Spain, your view of the Patriots and Belichick specifically.
Yeah, I'll start by saying he's allowed to not be in the playoffs and winning it all every year. So this isn't me saying that I think he's fallen off and can't regain the success he had in the past. But I think it's almost an indictment on our business that we like to embrace debate at certain moments. And sometimes those moments are not the ones where we have the information to actually have those conversations. The day after the draft, let's grade people. Well, they haven't played yet. The first year of Belichick without Brady, we kept yelling about how we were going to find out everything we needed to know about whether Belichick or Brady was the secret to success. It was too early to discover. And we might be seeing a little more of that now, 2 years in, without Brady. Is he still the magician we expect him to be? Is he infallible in choosing to not have offensive coordinators or put defensive guys in those positions? Maybe not so much as we thought he was when they were winning every time with Brady. It's going to take another couple years to see how much of it was Tom, but we can start having that debate with a lot more data behind it now and next year.
And Woody Page.
It's okay to question Belichick and where he is at this point in his career. Vince Lombardi left the Green Bay Packers, went to Washington. He was never quite the same coach and didn't coach very long in Washington after an incredible career. We considered him the best coach of all time until Belichick. Here's what I look at. Josh McDaniels is a terrible head coach, but he was a great offensive coordinator. And so he lost him. Now he's got two guys calling plays that were head coaches on defense or special teams. And now he's got his son calling the defense. He's dictated a lot of authority to other guys. He wasn't Justin calling the plays last night. He looked like he was kind of bored on the sidelines like the rest of us were. When he kicked that field goal, I said, You've given up. You didn't even want to play anymore.
All right, so your takeaway from last night was boring game. All right, Woody, I always love your honesty. There you go, Woody Page. We'll move on. NCAA Conference Championship weekend. Oh, yeah. Will it be the favorites, or might there be chaos? And what would the committee do with chaos? Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Purdue, TCU, Kansas State, USC, Utah. Woody, how wild can this get?
It's going to be very chaotic in my mind because you've got a situation where four of the teams have already played against each other. I mean, USC and Utah gave us one of the greatest games of the entire season. TCU and Kansas State, that was down to the final moments of that game also. So you got to concentrate on those two because they're going to mean a lot to what is in the playoff system. The other two, Michigan's going to run away from Purdue. I think LSU has an opportunity to at least challenge Georgia because Georgia's struggled lately. But I think they're going to be exciting games, all four of them, because Purdue, even a large underdog, has played well when they played as a large underdog. So I think it's going to be chaotic. I think we're all going to love it, and we're hoping that this settles everything.
All right, well, you're just predicting excitement and chaos. Let's go further here.
What would you like?
Well, I think you agree Georgia with a loss still gets in because they're undefeated and one loss Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. Michigan, right. TCU, USC.
But talk to me. So you are picking then the teams that are already in position. So as much chaos as the games may play, you're not picking chaos with the committee, Woody. Sarah, Spain, you can address either side of it, the games, or what happens with a result going either way.
Well, you told Woody just a moment ago you liked his honesty. So even though equivocating doesn't usually sell here, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that not only do I agree with Woody that two of the games are kind of, I think they're going to go the way they're expected and be pretty easy scheme. But the TCU and Kansas State and the Utah-USC, those are going to be coin flips. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Kincaid isn't fully healthy for Utah, I think that makes a big difference. He's been such a huge part of their offense. But to me, there's a story there for USC. This is the team that has beaten us in the past and could stand in the way of all of these things that we want. So not only do we get to, you know, make up for that loss, but we get to finally put the nail in the coffin for our season and for what we need to prove to everyone. So I think that that one will go the way of USC.
Sure. The motivation is there. The motivation is there for everybody. But Justin Tinsley, let's walk through some of the scenarios here. What happens if Kansas State beats TCU? What happens if Utah beats USC?
I am so glad you asked me that question, Tony. I do think USC is going to beat Utah and they'll stay in the college football playoff. But I want to focus on Kansas State, TCU. If Deuce Vaughn and his 3,500 scrimmage yards can keep that TCU offense off the field, they have a really good chance to beat them again. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, Tony. But if Kansas State can beat TCU, my name is not Charles Barkley, but I am going to make a guarantee. Alabama will be in the college football playoff.
Ohio State?
That's how big that game is. I think Alabama still has a chance.
Okay. But they would have to jump Ohio State as well, a one-loss Ohio State.
They deserve to jump Ohio State.
Whoa,
Alabama's two losses
are far. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And Vaughn, by the way, 3,500 total yards over 2 years. If he did it over 1 year, we'd be really talking. Yeah. Bob Wright, on everything Justin just gave us and all the possibilities this weekend.
Well, all the possibilities. I'm with the group that it's 2-2. Michigan's not going to lose, and Georgia's not going to lose. I'd be surprised in either case. I was intrigued from the beginning about the Kansas State TCU game because of the way that first game went and the way Howard came off the bench after Martinez got hurt right away. They got up to 18-point lead, and they couldn't hold it. And that's going to be lingering in their minds. And whether they're going to be saying, hey, we should have had him, or TCU's going to get smug, I don't know. I don't know about that either. But I think, let me get to the conclusion that you just had with Justin Tinsley. Mm-hmm. What we don't know, in case that TCU loses and things start to get goofy, is this. To what extent does the stench of the second half of the Ohio State game still linger in the nostrils of the committee? Are they going to take that into consideration as the determining, as the tiebreaker?
So are you with Tinsley then?
And we don't know.
We don't know, of course, but just have some fun. Humor us. Do you think that Alabama could jump in here with just one loss to one of the top
Yes.
fours? Tinsley says yes. Spain, you say no.
No.
No. Woody, would you care to join the conversation?
Yeah, Tennessee has a better chance of jumping Alabama
The committee already showed us that.
He's gone for the game.
I understand where Tinsley's coming from. It's almost like this villain in a movie, right? Alabama's always lurking behind and ready to jump. It'd be a shocker if a two-loss team gets in over a one-loss team. One more story here. It's the biggest game of the weekend. USA-Netherlands. Christian Pulisic, all signs pointing that he will play. Josh Sargent, Greg Berhalter said today he was not as hopeful, so there might have to be a change to the 11. Where are the goals going to come from? Can the defense stay as stout versus a Dutch team ranked 8th in the world? Sarah Spain, what needs to happen for the U.S. to advance in the World Cup this weekend?
Defense needs to be as spectacular as it has been. No open field goals throughout that pool stage. And they need to attack. What we've seen in the pool stage is that sometimes they were able to sit back and protect a lead. Obviously, in a knockout game, you're not going to do that. So they need to be fresh in the second half. And they need to make substitutions immediately if it looks like guys are dragging, because that's when they lose the edge in the second half, is on fatigue. I think Gio Reyna could be a really important sub and could attack in the second half.
So you're also putting the Gio Reyna story has been fascinating. And why isn't he playing? But you think maybe with Sargent already questionable, maybe Reyna takes that start. Maybe
there's
takes
depth
that spot
at those positions that he plays, so I kind of understand it. But I think that the attack that he can give them will be really key in a game that they might need to score multiple goals.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, this all boils down, can the offense play a full, complete game? Defensively, they're there. But the U.S., they're one of four teams to not have a goal in the second half. So they have to score, and they can't be so overly dependent on that great defense, because they're not going to bail them out
Ryan,
every time. So
what
they
would
have
the U.S.
score.
Need to do to get this win?
Just do what they're doing, because the fact is that they're not playing the team from the Netherlands of 20 years ago or even 8 years ago. They're playing the team in 2022 who are not the same as those other teams. Anybody in the international world would tell you that. Maybe number 8 in the world, but the USA is not far behind them anymore in real life. So they can play their game, they can
and
win.
Woody Page.
Yeah, got to put together two halves. But I think the most important aspect of this game are going to be the goalkeepers. And Matt Turner, who really hasn't been on this stage until this past three games, he has got to come up big and absolutely shut out in order for the United States to
win. Been a good recipe for. All right, well, let's make the picks here. I know where your heart may be, but you're a reasonable journalist. Woody Page, who you got in this game?
I'm giving the United States not only a puncher's chance, but a victory.
Woody's got the USA. Sarah Spain?
USA!
Tinsley!
USA!
Bob Ryan, please. Okay. The Jingo Jacks of Around the Horn. There
That's
we go.
Right.
Buy or sell on the other side.
What's wrong with that?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
I understand that you guys have, a lot of questions. But with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions that I can really address at this time.
Deshaun Watson's return to the field this week, and for Sunday's game, 700 days since his last game. We know why he was away. More than 24 allegations of sexual assault. Suspension for the last 11 games. And we know why he's back. The guaranteed contract during that time from the Cleveland Browns. Woody, what do you expect from Watson after 2 years away Sunday?
I think he's going to have a good game, specifically because he's returning to Houston, where he's been successful in 2020. He led the league in passing. He's going against the worst team in the National Football League. I think we'll see a concentration of Chubb running, and there being rollouts from under center and some RPOs. He'll have a good game, not a great game.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I think he'll be rusty, and it'll be useful that they're playing the Texans. It's also useful that the offense of the Browns fits into his skill set. A lot of runs, a lot of RPOs, play action. He can take those deep shots if he feels comfortable with his receivers at this point. That rust probably won't matter because it's the Texans, but it'll be there. I also just want to point out to the clip that you played, if they think they can go all season long without taking accountability for their decision in signing him, and that means him, the coaches, the teammates, the front office, by saying football questions only, that's ridiculous, laughable, and clownish behavior.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Sarah Spain. Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, at some point, Deshaun Watson is going to have to talk about this. You can't say no comment for the rest of your life. But on the field, I don't expect him to look decent at all. He's 700 days away from the game, as you said. But they're going to lean on Chubb. The Texans, they aren't good. But reality is coming. They got Cincinnati next week, so that'll be a real test for them.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Ryan.
It's probably unwise to bet against the obviously superior athlete. We know how good he can be and has been. But I can't see him being that great in his first game back, even against a terrible opponent like this. I think he'll show flashes, and when it's all over, you'll say, yeah, we can see what might be, it might turn out. But he'll probably be getting a C-plus at the end.
Sarah, talk to me through what you would like to maybe be asked of Watson in either anticipation of this game or after the game.
I think in all of these cases, our focus ends up being on punishment for PR's sake. We want to see someone punished for what they did instead of transparency and authenticity in why we're meant to believe that anything has changed, so that when we move forward, we can feel like that's a different person there for everybody that has to work for them and all the fans that are then required to cheer for them. We skip that part all the time and just want to get to the end and say everything's better. There's no proof of that, so you need to speak to it if you want us to believe that.
We move on. Dolphins at 49ers. Before last night's Bills win, this was a matchup of first-place teams. And the history here, Mike McDaniel's old team, and he and Shanahan tied at the hip for 14 seasons before this one. And the team's built on the same system. Miami, a very yak-oriented team, speed, I should say. And San Francisco's the yak-oriented team. Sarah, who's the better team and how much is on the line?
Yeah, this is a tough one. You got speed versus strength. You got, like you said, what's on the line? Well, bragging rights beyond the fact that these are two playoff-bound teams. I think I'm giving the 49ers the tiniest edge here, but at any moment, those Dolphins guys, the speed on the outside can crush you for big plays. So I'm going to mentor over mentee, but this will be a fun one.
All right, so you like San Francisco maybe just more physicality versus Miami speed. Tinsley, who do you like in this matchup? What decides it?
Yeah, if I got a pick, I'm going San Francisco by a hair, but this is irresistible force, immovable object. Miami is the best team in the league at passing in the middle of the field. San Francisco is the best at defending it. San Francisco hasn't given up a point in the second half in four straight games. Tua has four straight games of an 80 QBR. That's the longest in the NFL since 2020. This is the game of the week.
Bob Ryan.
I have already booked a seat on the 49ers bandwagon. I think that the addition of McCaffrey makes them a very logical team to get to the Super Bowl, and they're home. And now, if the game were in Miami, I wouldn't feel so confident, but I like the way they're going.
Paige.
Bob, don't pull a hammy jumping under that bandwagon. I'm going with the Miami Dolphins. I think the student beats the mentor. But you've got to know this. They both went to high school about 20 miles away from each other and grew up at the same time. They know the same stuff. Miami's a better football team overall than San Francisco.
Okay. Tinsley, you said the game of the week, you know, Kansas City, Cincinnati, rematch of the AFC title game.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it's tough, man. Those are two really
good
games.
Flipping right now? Are you flipping on what you just said?
No, because I don't know, Tony.
He doesn't know. Oh, what are you doing, Tinsley?
He baited you into that.
Oh, that was low, Tony.
Spade Ryan, showdown next.
Oh, we're all looking forward to Cowboys, Colts, most.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for our leaders to step up and be more vocal, both on the field and at practice. So, I mean, what is Todd Bowles saying here? And is he calling out Tom Brady? Welcome to Showdown, Sarah Spain, Bob Ryan. Sarah, what did Bowles just say?
Probably calling out all the leaders. The only way for us to know if he's calling out Tom is if he's ever won Player of the Week for the Bucks. I think that's when we find out that things have gone awry for Tom and his coach.
Bob Ryan?
I don't want to hear it from a guy that doesn't know how to call times out. You know, he's proven conclusively that he's one of the greatest examples of a decorated lieutenant who has not qualified to be a general.
But I like that you're putting it on clock management. You must have a pickle with every single coach in the NFL. Also, time's out, not timeout.
Time's out, like attorneys general? Yeah.
Kansas City, Cincinnati exactly right. Is a game this weekend that Justin Tinsley thinks is just a normal game on the schedule. Just running the mill, scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla. Rematch of the AFC Championship game. And Joe Burrow has won the last two over Patrick Mahomes. Bob, how will this game be decided?
I don't know what it is, but I'm taking the over. Here's the thing. Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, but there's still a little of Favre left in him trying to do a little too much. I think he's going to make one hero play and cost him the game. That's
Spain?
What I think.
This is definitely going to be a shootout. This is definitely Justin Tinsley going to be the biggest and best game of the week. And I'm going in a shootout for Patrick Mahomes every time. It doesn't matter how much time is left on the clock. If he ends up with the ball in his hands, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Even though the last two losses, he had the ball in his hands. Sarah Spain, wire-to-wire win, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thank you very much. Hosted my last show for ESPN Radio last night. I started 12 years ago at ESPN 1000. Shout out to Justin Craig for taking a shot at me and hiring me. When I was hired, I was the first woman in 11 years to be on the radio in a regular role at that radio station. Shout out Peggy Kaczynski before me. And now that I leave, I am hoping there are more women allowed to hold those radio roles. Amber Wilson will be taking over my slot as one of the co-hosts, and that makes me feel really good about being able to step away, get my happy hours and my nights back. Please keep putting women on the airwaves. There's still too few.
That's just great stuff, Sarah. This is how we were introduced to Sarah, of course, as radio first, and now our beloved Plasma 2 here. But one thing she said that needs to be proclaimed as loudly as possible, she could not see herself doing radio because there was no Sarah when she was a young woman growing up. See it and be it. See you Monday.